Starting with the US and what's happening through there, last week, yeah, we had some proof, really, that inflation is continuing to pick up in the United States. And, you know, we also had comments coming through from the US president, you know, lots of comments from the US president on many things. But when he's talking about reciprocal tariffs, you know, if a country puts tariffs up against the US, they put them up equally. The subtext of this is that he wants to put tariffs up because he wants to tax overseas people more than he does domestic residents in the US. He wants to reduce income taxes and company taxes inside the US and instead put tariffs on overseas output. In some ways, he's taxing overseas people relative and you're taxing people at home less. But he's admitted that, you know, this will add to some price pressure in the near term. Of course it will. But we've already got the CPI and producer prices rising, you know, well above the Fed's 2% target. So last week we had the January CPI came out, and it was expected to be up 0.3%. It was up 0.5%. And that's after a 0.4% change the month before. So the annual rate lifted from 2.9% to 3%. Now, when you get 0.4 one month and 0.5 the next, if you're averaging somewhere between 0.4 and 0.5 over the next few months, you're going to be rapidly moving up towards 4%. And so there is some inflation pressure coming through in the US. And it was there in the core CPI as well. The core CPI, taking out the volatile items, was expected to be up 0.3%. It was up 0.4%. And as a result of that, the annual rate of inflation there went up from 3.2% to 3.3%. So we've had this consistent elevation of inflation over the course of the last few months. It's not just plateauing, it's actually starting to reaccelerate. And it's there in producer prices. So we had January producer prices last month came out, and they were up more than expected too. So producer prices up 0.4% after a revised 0.5% increase the month before. So now we've had annual rate of growth in producer prices stuck at 3.5% year on year, 2 months in a row. Previous month was revised up from 3.3 to 3.5, and the core producer prices are worse than that. They're up 0.3% month on month. Previous month was revised up heftily to 0.4%, and as a result of that, we were running now at 3.7% year on year going back to November, and 3.6 for December year on year. Add to this what we saw with the non-farm payrolls a couple of weeks ago, where and inside that, average hourly earnings, which are now running above 4% year on year, and you can see that the US is starting to develop quite an inflation problem. So we had Jerome Powell giving his semi-annual testimony in the middle part of the week, and he's basically saying, look, we're in no rush at the moment to lower rates further. Inflation is showing some signs of getting sticky. He hasn't got to the point yet of making a truly hawkish statement, which would be, we may need to lift rates rather than drop them. But that can't be too far down the track if we continue to get sort of inflation pressure coming through. If there was any relief at all in this, it came with the retail sales numbers that came out for the month of January. We had a weaker month for once there. So January retail sales, they were expected to fall, but they fell by 0.9%. Middle of the previous month was revised up to 0.7% from 0.4%, and core retail sales were off by 0.4%. So a bit of a softer run there through retail sales. But you need to see a lot of that to start to take the pressure away from inflation. And at the moment, we've got real income growth running through the United States. We've got promises of lower taxes and all these sorts of things. And all of that militates towards growth being stronger rather than weaker and seeing that strength starting to come back again. This week, we won't get a lot more colour on this. We've got Jerome Powell giving more testimony at times through the course of this week. But today is a holiday in the United States. It's Washington's birthday holiday, so nothing coming out the US today for Monday. And then beyond that, we get things like a lot of housing data, really. We get the February National Association of Home Builders Index coming out on Tuesday. Yeah, that has been rising slightly over the last month or two. It's up at 47 going back to January. We expect to be around about 47 again. We get building permits. We get housing starts coming out. Be watching initial jobless claims. They're holding down very well. Last week, they were down to 213,000, and they're expected to be around 214,000, so that speaks of still a very tight labour market. And we get some existing home sales right at the end of the week as well. And also the February Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. And that one's significant, not so much for the sentiment survey itself, but for inflation expectations. The first reading of that showed a big jump in inflation expectations from 3.3% to 4.3% for the next year. And five-year inflation expectations are now well above 3% on that survey. So people are starting to watch that as another indicator that inflation is holding up. And, of course, yeah, anything else that comes from left field, and there'll be plenty of that from any statements that the president makes, and they come thick and fast. So, you know, all of those having some implications. But, you know, the bottom line of this policy is, as we know, US first, onshoring, putting up tariffs where tariffs are put up overseas, and sometimes even when they're not put up overseas. He's looking for money any way he can get it, and so that's so he can pay for the tax cuts that he wants to provide. And all of that adding to demand at a time when inflation's already picking up. So, you know, as far as the interest rate markets are concerned, you know, whilst they do leap on anything that smacks of any weakness in the US to try and rally, those rallies can't really persist. If anything, interest rates are going to be starting to mark up, and it'll be marking up towards not the next rate cut in the United States, but the beginnings of potentially the first rate hike in the next cycle. And so, you know, this is where things are changing pretty fast as far as the US is concerned. Moving to China, we had very little out last week, but this week in China, People's Bank of China meets on Thursday. Still not expected to do anything there, so still expected to leave their interest rate setting at 3.6%, the same as the week before. Then we come to Australia, and before we get onto the RBA this week, it's interesting. You know, we had a little bit of data came out through the course of last week. We had January NAB business conditions, business confidence, and they're both in positive territory for once. So business conditions, not quite as strong as they were the month before. It was plus six the month before, came in at plus three. But business confidence, which has had a negative sign on it over the last few months, it was minus two going back to December, jumped to plus four. So, you know, businesses are getting a little bit more confident about the future. We also had February Westpac consumer sentiment, and this was only off by 0.1%. It was down 0.7% the month before, but a couple of months before that, you know, we had something like a 13% increase over a couple of months. So, you know, this is bouncing along the top at the moment of where it's been recently, and is still looking comparatively firm. We had some housing finance data. This is now no longer produced on a monthly basis. It's produced on a quarterly basis. And in the December quarter, the value of housing finance was up by 1.4% quarter on quarter. But it showed some interesting variation between owner-occupiers and investors. Investors had been leading the charge upwards in housing finance commitments most of the way through 2024. In the value of investor loans was actually down 2.9% quarter on quarter in December, but owner-occupiers was up 2.2%. So owner-occupiers are starting to take up a bit of the charge in terms of getting home loans relative to investors in that data that we saw. Moving to the RBA this week, this is a two-day meeting. You have a meeting today and tomorrow. They'll still make the announcement at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. It's a slightly different interest rate setting committee. Also tomorrow, the RBA will produce its quarterly monetary policy statement with all of its latest economic forecasts. And you know, the general thinking, other than a few of us, is that the RBA is going to cut tomorrow by 25 basis points, down to 4.1% from 4.35%. But it's interesting, the commentaries, even those people who think they're going to cut, a lot of the commentaries along the lines of, yes, they will probably cut, but they're probably going to be, it's going to be a fairly hawkish statement that comes out with it, that it's going to be a little while before they can think about cutting further. And some are even along the lines of, yes, they will be cutting, but really they shouldn't be. And this is really, really bizarre, because you've got this confidence that there's going to be a cut, but also equal confidence that, you know, maybe they shouldn't be. And so, you know, that really is strange. It's sort of, it's where, you know, my feeling is, well, if that's the way it is, and you're looking at it sensibly from the RBA's point of view, you're better off not cutting. And that may still be a surprise result that we get tomorrow. I'm not confident of that forecast, but because, you know, just about everybody else is saying, look, they are going to cut. But it's just the weirdness of the cut. And where it will show up most is when they produce their latest economic forecasts, because everything relating to the tightness of the labour market and obviously potential inflation down the track, they're going to have to revise upwards. So you know, employment growth is going to be have to revise upwards all the way through their 2025 forecasts. The unemployment rate is going to be revised lower from where they had it going back to November. So that means that they're saying, well, the labour market is going to be tighter. That means that at some point, inflation is going to be more difficult to get down and stay down with inside our target, but we're still cutting. And so, you know, this is the bizarre part about the RBA this week. And you know, also, they've got some pretty key data coming out after the decision. So we've got the Q4 wage price index. Now, the Q4 wage price index, bizarrely, will probably be a relatively low result. And the only reason it's a low result is that several enterprise bargaining agreements, particularly amongst large groups of state government employees in areas such as health, in places like transport, and many of those agreements have been stuck because the demands are very, very high that are coming through for the next 3 years. And that, you know, that they look as if they're all going to start to come through in the next few months with increases of, you know, over 3 years, 4% each year and more. In some cases, much more when you're looking at things like train drivers and nurses in New South Wales. So, yeah, they will come through much higher and will give us a very big lift in wage growth at some point. But because they've been delayed from when they would normally be settled, you probably get a lowish result for the Q4 wage price index. When I say lowish, it's still going to be about 0.8% quarter on quarter. And that may get the annual rate of change down to 3.3% year on year for wage growth. Problem is, it's not going to stay there because the tightness of the labour market is going to bounce that and a long way, together with all these settlements when they start to come through, are really going to lift that. And so it's going to be you know, sort of roaring ahead. And really, the Reserve Bank should be allowing for some of that in its forecast as well. But the forecasts, which are so far out, are their forecasts for employment growth you know, at the end of last year, which is the starting point for forecasting 2025, they thought that employment growth would be 2.6% year on year. It was 3.1%, you know, so it was way above their forecast. They thought the unemployment rate would be 4.3% in December last year. It was 4.0. So their forecasts have got even lower or weaker labour market running through 2025. They've got to revise those up a fair bit. And that's the pressure point that's running through you know, what we see coming through this week. And to add to all this pressure, on Thursday we get the next labour force data for the month of January. You know, this has been really strong. Yeah, when we January going back to December, employment rose 56,300. you know, yes, much of the market thinks that, you know, we can't persist at that strength, so basically looking for that 20,000 increase and the participation rate to stay at a record high, 67.1%. That may just lift the unemployment rate a notch to 4.1% from 4.0%, but it's still well short of the 4.3% and the 4.4s and 4.5s that the Reserve Bank was forecasting as recently as November for much of 2025. So this is the conundrum. It's yes, there is something, there's a potential for the Reserve Bank to cut, but the problem is when you look at their forecast, they probably shouldn't. And so this is the quirkiness of what we'll be looking at this week. Add to that, we've got another one of our central banks locally, the RBNZ, and there the economy is completely tanked. And so they may cut by 50 basis points when they meet middle of this week, which would take their cash rate down to 3.75%. But it's worthwhile bearing in mind that their inflation rate's lower than us, their unemployment rate's considerably higher than ours, and their economy is in deep recession. There is a big difference between what's happening in New Zealand and what's happening here, and why you get a different policy response. Briefly, in Europe, last week, we got some only minor data reports. We got things like Centix investor confidence. It was better than expected, -12.7 from -17.7. It's not great, but at least it's not as bad as people thought it would be. December industrial production, however, was worse than expected, -1.1% month on month. Q4 GDP, though, had a slight upward revision from 0 to 0.1% for the quarter. It's still only 0.9% year on year. And this week in Europe, the main things in Europe, I think, are going to be, obviously the political meetings relating to the war between Ukraine and Russia, where obviously the Europeans were so appalled by the US Vice President Vance's comments made at a conference last week that they now recognize that their relationship with the United States is totally fractured, and that they are going to be going on their own. And they've got a conference in Paris this week, which virtually excludes the US because they don't see any help coming from them. There's some interesting things which are happening on the political side as well, relating to the economics that the US is trying to impose, which is that we're no longer going to subsidize the rest of the world and their defense and everything else. Everybody else is on their own. You should be listening to the right-wing parties in all your various electorates. And interestingly, Vance, when he visited Germany, the first place he went to was the AfD, the far right-wing party there, who are contesting the election there coming up in this next fortnight. And it's these issues which are going to be very, very interesting as we go ahead. What they mean in economic terms is watch inflation. Inflation looks as if it's going to be picking up almost everywhere as we go through the later part of this year. And that means that where interest rates are coming down, they're not going to be coming down much further. And in many places, watch now for when the next tightening cycle starts. That includes here. So even if we get an interest rate cut, it's not going to last for very long.